But I just want to this day, just open, close your hand. This is all of the stuff that we're hanging on to. Now open your hand. This is the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to release all of that stuff. We're going to worship together. We are going to come and rejoice in His house. So as we do that, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, come. Send Your Holy Spirit into every home and into this place, in this sanctuary where there's just a handful of us, but in every home that's listening. Father, we pray that You would send Your Spirit, that You would, Father, that we would surrender our fears and our worries to You, because You are, there is nothing greater than You. Nothing greater than You. So we surrender this day to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
heard an old, old story how the Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bore me with His redeeming love. He loved me.
Everyone today. Everybody good? All right. Well, I'm excited to be here and I'm excited. I am missing everyone, but we are happy that you are here watching us online at home with your family. So, and as everybody knows, this coming Thursday, November 26th is Thanksgiving Day. So is everybody ready for maybe some turkey and dressing or brisket? Somebody was going to have brisket, I think. We're having tacos, so lots of fun things. But it's a day that's set aside for us to celebrate and be thankful for all of our many blessings. And so I got to thinking, I think I'm going to start making a list. So I started making a list of things that I'm thankful for. And then I started asking people what they were thankful for. So I'm going to read some of my list and we'll see if it's going to unroll. Okay. It says, I'm thankful. We are thankful for God, the cross, our family, the church, and Jesus, and friends, the sun. And I've got lettuce on here, so hopefully I think somebody's thankful for lettuce. The Holy Spirit, turkey, my family, the rain. And that's just part of my list right there, but that's a pretty good list, right? It's a few things that we're thankful for. So, and it's a great list. Do you think that that should be what's all that's on our list? You know, I don't think so. I think our list should keep going and going. And it says in God's word in 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. So his love endures forever. So we need to be thankful forever. So I'm going to finish my list. Are y'all ready? Hopefully this works. Is it going to go? It's going to keep going. Oh, thank you. So our list keeps going and going and going. Our things to be thankful for. God has blessed us so much. Our things that we are thankful for should never, ever run out. So I want you to get some paper and just start writing down everything that your family is thankful for. Because we need to remember that God loves us. And that he has given us so much. And sometimes we just forget to be thankful. So on this coming week, just be thankful that God loves us. And remember to praise God in all things. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love. And just bless us as we move through this week. Help us to be mindful and being thankful for everything that you have given us. And that you bless us with. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning once again. Glad that you are with us this morning. You know, I made mention of this last week, but I want to read again the Lord's words out of Matthew 7. The Lord's, you know, we tend to this all of the heaviness of this season that we're going through, everything that's happening. We tend to worry, don't we, if we're honest? And I've said this before. I preached on this a few months ago. Jesus says, don't do it. Do not worry, Jesus says. And then he goes on to say, don't worry, but seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And I mentioned last week that I ran across one of the emails that I subscribed to, and it talked about replacing worry with worship. Worry with worship. And so that's what we're doing. You know, this morning, even though most of you are at home and you're not able to be here with us, we are trusting in the Lord, even though things seem uncertain. That's when faith kicks in. It's not when everything is just the way it's supposed to be and everything's lining up and everything's perfect. No, faith kicks in when there's uncertainty, when we're not sure, when we don't know. So in just a moment, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Before we do that, I invite you to recite the Apostles' Creed with us. I invite you to stand if you're even in your home, if you want to stand with us as we recite this creed that has been said by Christians for a couple of thousand years, the tenets of our faith. So recite this with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence it shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You may be seated. A couple of old words that we don't use the way they were used back when this creed was written. Quick, the quick and the dead, meaning the living and the dead. And that word Catholic means universal. We are saying that we believe in the universal church, that we are all one in Christ. So if you just bow your head with me, I invite you to go and to spend some time in prayer this morning with me. You know, this being the Thanksgiving season, certainly think we should start off, as Carlene led us in that direction, I think we should start off in our own hearts explaining to the Lord what we're thankful for. Just do that for just a moment in your own heart. Father, we are indeed thankful. We can't start this list without thanking you. You came to earth to set us free. You came to earth to, you became flesh. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You came to earth because you love us. Came to earth to restore us. Restore us to the way we were created, created in the image of God Himself. And sin had tainted that. Sin had destroyed that. And you came to pay that debt that we owed. And so we are thankful. But Father, there's so many other things to be thankful for. Our family and this church. Father, it's a silly thing, but I remember a few years ago when Carlene asked the children to say what they were thankful for, one of the little kids said, lettuce. And Father, what the innocence of a child. We are thankful for the very nutrition that's available to us. Father, I'm thankful for this church family. I pray now protection, physical, emotional, spiritual protection for our church and for this city. We all want to be together, but Father, we're trying to walk out this love your neighbor in faithfulness. So, Father, I pray that you would move against this virus, that you would rid our land of this. I pray for those who've come down with it, God, that it would indeed be minor and that they would heal perfectly and quickly. And Lord, I pray that no more will get it. Pray that you would just begin to eradicate that. But Father, in the midst of it all, we know that you are at work. Perhaps you're humbling us. Perhaps you are drawing us to yourself. So Lord, complete the work that you've started. We don't want to get in the way. Father, we love you. You are the Prince of Peace, and you are the great I Am, and you are the God of all comfort. And we rest in you. We trust you, even when things seem chaotic and out of control. They're not out of your control. And we trust you. We pray now the prayer that your son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, I invite you on our online worshipers, you can worship with your tithes and offerings through our givings tab on our website, WileyMethodist.org, or through our Wiley Methodist app as we continue to worship.
Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day Well, good morning, church family. Everyone doing well this morning? Of course, you can't respond to me because you're in your homes, but email me later and tell me how you're doing. Good to have you with us. Just a couple of things. If you have not already registered your attendance, could you please do that? That would help us know who's able to stay connected with us during this time. And if you're a first-time person connecting with us online, there is a spot on our app where you can fill out a visitor's card, a Connect card, and you can find our app on your app store if you have a smartphone. And we'd love to follow up with that visit. If you still have shoe boxes that you need to drop off, there are two more opportunities to do that. Today from 1:30 to 4, somebody will be out in front of the church to receive those, and tomorrow from noon to 3:30. So if you have shoe boxes, you can go ahead and bring those, and then they'll be shipped to the Metroplex after that. And don't forget Turkey Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. You can meet us in the Carver neighborhood at 4 p.m., and we will pass out turkeys to those families in need. And God bless you today as you worship the Lord with us. There is a wedding that's coming up, and the invitations have been sent, but there's no date or time on the invitations. Only the father of the groom knows the date and time, but I have a sneaky suspicion that the groom knows as well. And the groom is busy making preparations for that day. Incredibly busy. And the bride, well, she's getting herself ready for that day, and there's a wedding garment that she needs to fit into, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, so I'm going to go ahead and apologize beforehand. If you were in the room, I would say, repeat after me, I love Billy Crimm, but you're not in the room, so. You know, the bride, God bless her, she's just not quite there yet. And she's just looking a little rough, to be honest. And I don't know if she needs to explore Weight Watchers or the keto diet. I'm not sure, but she's just not quite there yet. But that's okay, because the groom is going to help her get where she needs to be in order to get into this attire. And you know, this groom is a groom like no other. He actually understands weddings, and he actually understands his bride. And you know, most grooms, myself included, we don't have a clue. You know, we don't know why it takes 1 to 2 years to plan a wedding. You know, 2 weeks should be plenty of time. And I think that's the reason grooms have very few responsibilities. All we have to do is rent a tux and show up on time, and sometimes that's kind of a stretch for some of us. But this groom is a groom like no other. He's very keen to his bride's needs. And this wedding will be a glorious event, the biggest wedding that's ever taken place. And obviously I'm speaking about Jesus Christ and his church. There's a wedding coming someday. And you know, we can get so focused on events of our day that we, as Jeff said, we get bogged down, we get discouraged. And I spoke with Marv Gregory about this 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I thought, you know, Marv, we probably need to have an eternal perspective. And if we can think back past our day into the future, maybe we'll have a little more joy, and maybe we'll have a little more peace in our lives. So this morning, I want to talk about this wedding that's coming up, and hopefully we'll all be encouraged. But pray with me before I share. Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you, God, that you're still on the throne. Father, you are incredibly good. All our lives, you have been faithful. All our lives, you've been so, so good. And Father, just meet us in our homes this morning. Meet us in this room this morning. God, I just pray for an incredible awareness of your Holy Spirit in this place and in homes this morning. And Lord, I just thank you that distance can't separate your bride. Distance can't separate your church. God, that you unite our hearts. Unite us spiritually. Lord, I lift up those who are struggling this morning. I pray for Ken Keefe this morning. God, Marcia asked for prayer for him. I lift him up. Lord, I pray for strength for him, healing for those lungs. And God, for others that are struggling, Lord, you just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talk about this wedding. 3 points essentially this morning. And if you have a Wiley Methodist app on your smartphone, you will notice that I actually put some sermon notes up. And so I've done that twice in a row. And Mike Matthews, I didn't get a shout out from you this morning, but maybe you can do that sometime today. But there's a lot of scripture that I'm going to cover, but I'm not going to share many of those this morning. But I want to walk through this wedding process. I want to look at the groom, then I want to take a look at the bride. What's the bride doing? What's the groom doing? And then take a look at this wedding. And in order to get a really good perspective on what the groom is doing, I think we need to go back to Jewish culture and look at that process in Jesus' day. It's different than our day. And so some of you may know this, but I thought it would be good for us to revisit this, and maybe you've heard this for the first time. Again, I want to put this in perspective about what our groom is doing, what Jesus is doing. So in Jesus' day, in Jewish culture, the groom would pretty much choose his bride. He would see a young lady that he's smitten with, and he thinks, I'd like to marry her. And of course, she would have to agree with that. It was never a forced thing, or more times than not, it was not a forced thing. So he would choose his bride, or he would go to his father and said, look, I think I could spend the rest of my life with this family's daughter. And then the two families would get together, and they would talk through that. And when both parties agreed, then that would start the process of them moving towards their wedding day. And then the two families would negotiate a price for the bride. Now, she wasn't for sale, but, you know, families, when they operated back in that day, there were responsibilities for all family members. And so if you take a daughter out of a family setting, it may put a financial hardship on the family after she goes to be with her husband. So they would negotiate a price. And the husband of the bride, the father of the bride would say, I think this will satisfy the loss, so to speak. And then they would negotiate that price, agree on that. And then the prospective groom and the prospective bride would take a cup, and they would put wine in it, and they would both sip from that cup, and it signified a blood covenant. I guess in our day, we might prick our fingers and stick our fingers together to signify that blood covenant. It's almost like saying, until death do us part. And then the groom will leave his bride, and he will go back to his father's house, and he will, more times than not, build a room onto his father's house. Sometimes it was an independent, separate structure, but more times than not, he would build a room on his father's house to prepare a place for his bride. And then the father would approve of the finished product. The son may go to him and say, yeah, Dad, I think I'm through. And then the father would come, and he would look over the construction project, and he might say, well, son, I think it needs another coat of paint. And then he would do that, and then the father would say, okay, it's time for you to go get your bride. He basically sets the time for the groom to go get his bride. And then so the groom would go back to get his bride. It may be 1 or 2 years. She didn't know when he was coming. There was no mode of communication. They wouldn't send runners to communicate that message. He would go get her. She just had to be ready. And then this is interesting. They would take, when they come back together to consummate their marriage, the two would take that same cup, and then they would drink from it again, just to, again, consummate that marriage. And man, there's so much scripture tied into that. You know, Jesus chooses his bride. He chose us. We did not choose him. He chose us to bear fruit. This price is negotiated. An interesting thing about Jesus marrying the church, us being his bride, there's no one for God to negotiate with. God can basically name his own price. And if it was me and I wasn't negotiating with somebody, I would probably lowball, you know, this offer. But God didn't do that. He set the highest price possible to purchase his bride. The very blood of his son, the very blood of his groom. And then the drinking of the wine, when at the Last Supper, Jesus shared with his disciples, he said, I won't drink this again anew until we're in the kingdom together. So they drank two times. And then Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and get you and take you where I am. Jesus right now is preparing a place for his bride. Are we ready for that? We should be waiting. We should be expecting him to come back. And then someday the Father will say, okay, go get your bride. And Jesus will come back and get us. The groom is incredibly busy, incredibly intuitive. He is on top of things. And what about the bride? What's the bride doing? What should we be doing? Well, we should be getting ourselves ready. Let's read a little bit of scripture. Revelation 19. 7 and 8. And if the translation on the screen is a little bit different, I apologize. There's like 97 versions of the NIV Bible. I didn't know if you knew that or not, but this is the NIV version. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Now, this is heaven. There's a heavenly host that are shouting this together. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. So the bride has a responsibility to get herself ready. She needs to be on a steady diet of spiritual things. You know, the more that we take in of the world, the less that we may be ready. We need to be taking in spiritual things, things that are incredibly good for us. And like I said before about this groom, he's steadily, heavily involved in this process as well. Let's read Ephesians 5, 25 and 27. Great scripture that Paul writes, Ephesians 5, 25 and 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, a radiant bride without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Jesus is in the process. Our groom is in the process to make us holy. He's cleansing us. He's washing us with the water of the word, through the word. And other translation says he's preparing for himself a bride without stain or wrinkle or spot or blemish, but one that's holy, one that's blameless. Jesus is heavenly involved. And I was thinking, Jesus, why are you so involved in our lives? Why are you doing this for your bride? And I think because the bride has no idea who we can be. Has no idea who we can become. And if it was left up to us, the expectations of God that he has on us, we would fall so short. But Jesus so loves us. He's so involved with us. He's an incredible groom. You know, I was thinking about brides on wedding days. And, you know, I told the church before, man, I'm a softie at weddings. And every time the bride comes in, I just weep. I get a little teary-eyed. And I know that's not very manly, but I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm really not. There's just something beautiful about a bride. Now, I want to talk about beauty. And please hear me out till I get completely through. You know, the world has a view of beauty that's I find offensive. It grieves me. You know, I just was thinking about the world's view of beauty, the world's view of maybe brides. And, you know, I just thought, well, I'm going to Google the 10 most beautiful women in the world just to see what I get. And I got thousands of hits. You know, list after list after list, you know, the 10 most beautiful women, 10 most beautiful executives. And I didn't read any of those. I just thought, my goodness, how do they know this stuff? It's all subjective. And I also ran across a website and said they use science to determine that. My goodness, that grieves God's heart, I'm almost certain. Now, not to be chauvinistic or sexist, I Googled the 10 most handsome men in the world. And I was shocked to find out I was not on that list. I was shocked. Carlene was shocked, right? But your pastor wasn't either, by the way. But I Googled the 20 most handsome men on the list, and Jeff was like number 17 or 18. Just to let you know, he made that top 10 list. And, you know, I've known this. Like I said, every wedding I go to, the bride is just radiant. It doesn't matter who it is. And I thought, well, what does the world think about that? So I Googled the top 10 most beautiful brides, and you know what I got? I didn't get individuals. I got cultures and nations. Japanese brides, Egyptian brides, and Iranian brides. It's almost like the world knows that on that day it's level playing field. Because there's something supernatural about that event. There's something supernatural about a bride. You know, when God said, when he created Adam, then he created Eve out of Adam, he said, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's a supernatural event. I don't know if you realize that or not. And that doesn't matter if people are inside of Christ or people are outside of Christ. It's a supernatural event. The two become one. Now, God wants the two to walk that out in him, but it's supernatural. And the marriage, that particular marriage, Paul mentions it again in Ephesians. And I'm going to read that, Ephesians 5, 31 and 32. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm not talking about Christ, but I am talking about Christ in the church. Man, that event where a husband and a wife say, I do, that's an incredible picture, and it really speaks about some future wedding that's going to take place between Jesus Christ and his bride. So the groom is busy, the bride's getting herself ready, and Jesus is helping with that process. And then we come to the wedding day. You know, like I said, every wedding I've been to, I just get a little weepy, a little sappy. And you think about that day. Lots of preparation goes into it. Men don't understand that, but lots of preparation go into it. And so the event starts with the clergy or the pastor coming up with the groom. Okay. And they stand there and, you know, some people pay attention to that. Some don't. They continue to kind of talk and speak. And then the attendants come down the aisle and, you know, there's not a lot of fanfare with that. And, they come up and then the cute little, flower girl and ring bearer come up and God bless the little flower girls. Either they dump their load at the front of that procession or they get to the end, realize they have more than they need and they dump it at the end. You know, it's hard to get all that figured out and it's cute and the people laugh. But when the wedding march starts, it's like the bride's in the room and all attention, all the focus is on the bride. And we stand up and we turn and we look and she's just so beautiful and radiant and just so glorious and the father is there or someone significant that's given her away. And as the bride moves, we move with her and just watch her. It's about the bride. And when we get into heaven, I'm not trying to diminish who Jesus Christ is, but there's so much fanfare about the bride. Let me read Revelation 19, 3 through 9. And again, this is a heavenly host. There's celebration going on in heaven. Hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. That's talking about the destruction of Babylon. Then we move on. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne and they cried, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah. For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, And his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Incredible celebration because wedding day is there. And the bride is in the room. You know, I kind of knew this, but I wanted to ask Carlene just to be certain. You know, I asked her last night, you know, Carlene, when you proposed to me, I guess that, is that how it worked? I'm trying to remember. Man, I was a mess. I'll tell you what, we dated 5 years and I never asked her to marry me. I think she had to ask me. I was a little slow. I guess I was quite the catch. I'm not sure about that, but, and I can't remember. I guess we planned for about a year, right? Something like that. Sort of about a year. I do remember the date. I was there. I rented my tux and I was there. I was a little late. Seriously, I was late, but I was there. And I asked her, like, okay, Carlene, when we made plans, how often did you think about the wedding day? I said, was it every day? She said, absolutely. I thought about that every day. I thought about the plans. I thought about how things were going to go. And there was this incredible expectation, this expectancy of the bride about wedding day coming. And church, we need that. We need that perspective. We need to look beyond what's going on in our culture. I think sometimes we forget that this is not our home. 3173 South 19th in Abilene, Texas, 79605 is my address. It's not my home. We're aliens in this land. We're strangers. And I think sometimes during difficult times, we need that perspective. Oh, there's a wedding coming, church. We're the main attraction. Are we ready? Are we getting ourselves ready? Not everybody's going to be there. I'm just going to be honest with you. Do you know you're going to be there? If you're not sure about that, reach out to our pastor. Reach out to our church. We'd love to help you with that. Have the praise team go ahead and come up as I pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your love. God, I have no idea what it's like to be a bride. You're going to have to help me. Us men, we just don't get the significance of that. Would you help us? But at the same time, brides have no idea what it's like to be a groom standing at the altar, seeing their bride come down the aisle. And Lord, I pray that you help them with that. God, I've seen big, burly men just weep when they see their bride. And Jesus, I've got to believe you have this excitement. You have this anticipation. You're looking forward to that day yourself. Help us do that as well. Oh, God, we love you. We thank you that we're engaged to someone and this engagement cannot be broken. There's been a blood covenant that's been established. And we're grateful for that. Oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stands in my defense, Jesus, it's your
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.